A very good morning to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today, 20th March 2016, is our 9th day of the retreat, and this is also our last day. So we will do our final morning chanting. Then after that, maybe you can have your meditation. Then by 7:15, you can go down for breakfast. Then you have to assemble up here at about 8 o'clock. Then we'll have our maybe final expression of thanks to all the organizers, everything. Then if we have time, we may do some sharing, short run. Then finally, ask for forgiveness for the final time. Then, if you still want to have one more final group photo, you can. Otherwise, we can just disperse. Then, you all do the cleanup, final cleaning up, packing. Then, we will meet downstairs at about 9 to walk to the bus. Then, we should be able to make it to leave by 9:10. So tentatively, this is our final day program. Okay, we'll do the morning chanting. Turn to page 4. Oh no, 5. Page 5 of the chanting book. Straight away. Oh, where we do the final salutation. Okay. Okay. Compose your mind. Develop the faith. Then, with the sadha, virya, we mindfully recite our salutation. Namo virochana pho. Namo virochana pho. Namo Virochana pho. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Mila pho. Namo Mila pho. Namo Mila pho. Namo Quan Sim Pusa. Namo Quan Sim Pusa. Namo Quan Sim Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahan Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami.
To the Blessed One, the Lord, who fully attained perfect enlightenment, to the teaching which He expounded so well, and to the Blessed One's disciples who have practiced well, to these, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. We render with offerings our rightful homage.
It is well for us that the Blessed One, having attained liberation, still had compassion for later generation. May these simple offerings be accepted for our long-lasting benefit and for the happiness it gives us. The Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed one, I render homage to the Buddha, the blessed one.
The teaching so completely explained by him,
I bow to the Dhamma.
The blessed one's disciples who have practiced well,
I bow to the Sangha. Now let us chant the preliminary homage to the Buddha.
Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one.
Now let us chant in praise of the Buddha.
The Tathagata is the pure one, the perfectly enlightened one. He is impeccable in conduct and understanding, the accomplished one, the knower of the worlds. He trains perfectly those who wish to be trained. He is teacher of gods and humans. He is awake and holy in this world with his gods, demons, and kind spirits, his seekers and sages, celestials and human beings. He has by deep insight revealed the truth.
He has pointed out the Dhamma, beautiful in the beginning, beautiful in the middle, beautiful in the end. He has explained the spiritual life of complete purity. In its essence and convention, I chant my praise to the Blessed One. I bow my head to the Blessed One. Now let us chant in praise of the Dhamma.
Well expounded is the Dhamma of the Blessed One, can be realized in the here and the now, beyond time, beyond thought, inviting investigation, leading inwards to the heart, Nibbana, can be understood by the wise each for themselves.
I chant my praise to this teaching. I bow my head to this teaching. Now let us chant in praise of the Sangha.
They are the blessed ones' disciples who have good conduct, who have upright conduct, who have wise conduct, who have dutiful conduct. That is the four paths, the eight kinds of noble beings. These are the blessed ones' disciples. Such ones are worthy of gifts, worthy of hospitality, worthy of offering, worthy of respect. They give occasions for incomparable goodness to arise in the world. I chant my praise to this Sangha. I bow my head to this Sangha.
Now let us chant our salutation to the Triple Gem and a passage of encouragement.
The Buddha,
absolutely pure with ocean-like compassion, the blessing, the clear sight of wisdom, destroyer of worldly self-corruption,
devotedly indeed, that Buddha I revere, the teaching of the Lord, like a lamp, illuminating the path and its route, the deathless, that which is beyond the conditioned world, devotedly indeed, that Dhamma I revere, the Sangha, the most fertile ground for cultivation, those who have realized peace, awaken after the accomplished one, noble and wise, all longing abandoned, devotedly indeed, that Sangha I revere. This salutation should be made to that which is worthy. Through the power of such good action, may all obstacles disappear. One who knows things as they are has come into this world, and he is an Arahant, a perfectly awakened being, purifying the way, leading out of delusion, calming and directing to perfect peace, and leading to enlightenment. This way he has made known, having heard the teaching, we know this, but is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness, disease is suffering, and death is suffering, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are suffering. With a dislike is suffering, separation from one loved ones and our prized possession is suffering, not attaining one's wishes is suffering. In brief, the five aggregates of grasping are suffering. These are as follows: identification with the body, identification with the feelings, identification with perception, identification with mental formations, identification with consciousness. For the complete understanding of this, the Blessed One in his lifetime frequently instructed his disciple in just this way. In addition, he further instructed, the body is impermanent, feeling is impermanent, perception is impermanent, mental formations are impermanent, consciousness is impermanent, the body is non-self, feeling is non-self, perception is non-self, mental formations are non-self, consciousness is non-self, all conditioned phenomena are impermanent. There is no self in the conditioned and in the unconditioned. All of us are bound by birth, aging, sickness, and death, by sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair, bound by suffering and obstructed by suffering. Let us all aspire to complete freedom from suffering. The Blessed One, who long ago attained Paranibbana, is our refuge. So too are the Dhamma and the Sangha. Attentively, we follow the pathway of that Blessed One with all of our mindfulness and strength. May then the cultivation of this practice lead us to the end of every kind of suffering.
Okay, we turn back one page. We will chant the Pali. Rupang anicang, vedanak anicang, sanya anicang, sangkara anicang, vinyanang anicang, rupang anatta, Vedanakanata Sanya Anata Sankara Anata Vinyanang Anata Sabbe Sankara Anicang Sambe Samma Anatati. Okay, we do the closing salutation. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Okay, like I said just now, for those who just came in, today is the 20th March 2016, the last day of our retreat. So we are just finished our last morning chanting. We still got about 5 to 10 minutes before you start your meditation. Okay, I have already briefed you on what to do when you go back from here, especially your cultivation, the continuity into the daily life after you go back from here is very, very important. Post-retreat cultivation, after you have developed the understanding, you should make the resolve in front of the Buddha or Bodhisattva to walk this way. Then you vow life after life when you come to have this understanding, then you vow to constantly take refuge with the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, so that life after life, the triple gem will be with you. Then after that, you have to determine to plan how your cultivation should be done. The most important aspect is to determine to be heedful throughout the day. So you really need to ask yourself, how can this be done? So I have given you quite a bit of example. You start off with a daily religious routine. Commit yourself to the morning puja at home. You do on your own, very simple one. Then before you sleep. Then in between, when you have free time, silence your mind. Then when you are at home, develop mindfulness on everything you do before you sleep, during your sleep, when you wake up. First thing you do, mindful. So that this will cut down your thinking. Your thinking, if you are mindful, they are way ahead of your action. Your thinking will develop all the intention to do what, do what, do what. But as you think, you are never mindful at the moment. That's why you become forgetful and all those things. Especially when the mind tells you, okay, I need to do this, do that. I need to go downstairs quickly to check whether I have this already. Then as you have that intention or thought, you are still busy thinking and doing other things. Then by the time you come out, all these are very mechanical actions which you never develop mindfulness. You are never with the moment. And because of that, there is no clarity. The thinking sankhara is very strong. Then you quickly and hurrying without mindfulness dress up and go downstairs. Then by the time you reach downstairs, you forgot what you want to look for. Then you are always not in the moment. If like that, you will become heedless. Slow down the thinking, not the action. Don't think ahead. Just be with the moment. Then if you initially find problem, you should write it down on a piece of paper what you do. The mental intention come out, okay, I need to call who, I need to pay bill, I need to see this person. You write it down. Yeah. Then later on, as you become more adept with the daily mindfulness, you realize you don't really have to write it down. The mind becomes different. Whatever important appointment or matter, at the right time, it will come out. Then you realize mindfulness can be done and it's not difficult. Then before you leave your house, you pay respect to the Buddha or whatever forebosa that you have. Then when you come back to your house, first thing, do that first. Then wherever you go, to a way place or what, pay respect, develop the faith. Then do it mindfully when you pay respect. This is a good way to develop daily mindfulness. Then later on, carry this into your daily activity as you drive to your office. When you are in the office, when you are alone, develop mindfulness. Then later on, learn to interact with mindfulness. These are all the training that will benefit you tremendously. And you will start to see many, many things that you never see before. The mental intention, the subtle ego defilement that come through the back door. Then all the very subtle evil roots, they are all very clearly seen. Then you will start to witness in daily life how the Four Noble Truths, dependent origination, five spiritual faculty, five mental hindrance, how they arise and they pass away. Then the Dhamma will slowly unfold. Then as you develop more and more of this heedful way of living, you can contemplate on the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path. First turning, second turning, then third turning. First turning is very easy. First turning, you just recite the proclamation, the Four Noble Truths as expounded by the Buddha. So proclamation of truth is the first turning. If you can't understand after the proclamation, yeah, just like Wai Hong say, yeah, first time he heard, birth is suffering, and old age, sickness and death is suffering. Then separation is suffering, all this. So if you read and immediately you cannot get the understanding, then you go to the second turning. Second turning is contemplative reflection and inquiry into what the Buddha said. The first inquiry is, why did the Buddha say that birth is suffering? How can I understand that? Is a second inquiry. Birth is suffering is for you to understand that life is always the same. The moment you are born into this world, old age, sickness and death will be the result. It will follow. And these are nature's law. Then your body is only element. You know? So you reflect, then you realize, yeah, birth is really suffering. Then how can I understand it? Then you reflect the process of birth. And then the creative mind will arise the understanding. As you scan through the process of birth, you will come to know that many, many conditions can bring about birth is suffering. When there is complication, when the mother carries the baby, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of suffering. Her morning sickness, her movement are limited. Then she got to actually endure a lot of things. Then the birth process itself is painful. Then when the baby is born, the first thing they do is cry. Then you start to see and witness all this. Then when there is complication in the birth, there is a lot of fear in the person affected, the related one, the spouse, the in-laws, the parents. There is a lot of fear, a lot of worry. Then when things go wrong, when there is death, really suffering will arise. Then when the baby has problem also, it can be traumatic for the parents. That's how the second turning can be very powerful. Then when you know birth is suffering, old age sickness and death is suffering, you have to reflect, this is a reality. I need to develop wisdom so that when I encounter them, no matter what happens, my mind can still be at peace. My mind will not be afflicted. Then I check the second noble truth. What is the cause of suffering? The Buddha said the cause of suffering is your self-delusion, thinking that this form of mind is you. And that one condition, craving, grasping, attachment, because you think you exist, then the baby you born into the world also belong to you. So this attachment or clinging or craving is the cause of suffering. Then you reflect on the second turning. No wonder the Buddha said the cause of suffering is craving, born of self-delusion. Now I understand. Then the next inquiry is, this craving is to be abandoned. Or the Mandarin version is Lu Ying Tuan. So craving is to be severed or abandoned. How do you do it? You have to develop wisdom to straighten your view, to insight into the reality of this form and this mind, that they are not really you, like Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. If form is you, they will not lead to suffering. It will listen to you. You want it to be such and remain such, it will remain, it will not turn to suffering. Then if its form is you, only the four elements without the knowing, how can it be you? Then is form permanent or impermanent? You saw impermanent. That which is impermanent and lead to suffering, is it right to say, this is me, this is I, and this can be mine? You reflect. Then you understand that they are condition arising entity from karma. And then you develop your wisdom to relinquish this wrong view, this self-delusion. Then from there is no atta. When there is no atta, who crave, who cling? Nothing. If you don't exist, your form and mind don't belong to you, how can the baby belong to you? These are reality. Then your understanding of the noble truth becomes very powerful. Then you scan through the rest. From birth, when you get old age, what happened? Sickness, disease, what happened? Then during death, what happened? Then all this understanding, born of contemplative wisdom, will come. It will become very stable, very penetrative, waiting for the correct timing to awaken, either by any of the first, second, or third turning. So this is how you can do in your daily life. Quiet moment, reflect. In the office, after your work, lunch break, or what, reflect, contemplate. When you are at home, you can also do. I used to do that when I was alone. I would just walk in my garden outside my house. Or I would go to the park. Then sometimes in the house, where my house is quite spacious, I would just walk mindfully in a relaxed manner. Then I throw up the inquiry, whatever I want to understand. Then when I have already understood, I don't need to do all this. So all these are part and parcel of your training as you go back to daily life post-retreat. Post-retreat training to develop heedfulness or continuous mindfulness to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path are very important. Then you can also reflect on the Noble Eightfold Path, revise your understanding. Right view means what? What are the things you need to develop the right view? Then you start with the five natures or the Pancha Niyama, scientific law, then spiritual law. Then from there, you will recall the three right view that the Buddha talked about. Law of karma, law of mind, and law of dhamma. So these are all the important training. Then after you have right view, you apply. If I have right view in regards to law of karma, what must I do? That's how you reflect. Then you realize all the Buddha's teaching fall into place. That's why the zigzag puzzle fall into place. Then from there, it will spin off. Then from right view, why did the Buddha say the next path factor is right thought? Because our mind is a foreigner of all things. If our views are wrong, our thought will be wrong. If our views are right, our thought will be right. Because the use of thought is very important. And then from there you realize, right thought will condition right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then the Noble Eightfold Path flow. Then you ask yourself, what constitutes right thought? And that's how you cultivate, one by one, one by one. From what you heard, you write it down. Yeah. If you don't even know them, you cannot cultivate. Then what constitutes right speech, right action? And then only you know how to cultivate. Then what constitutes wrong thought? You must know them. Then you can be aware of it when it arises. So that's why all the pointer is given. Whenever you are unhappy and not peaceful, wrong thought are there. The evil roots are there. Then the end of inappropriate speech, the four type of wrong speech. So all this, you can develop understanding. Then what are right action? Action that are free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Pure action. Generosity is one of the pure action. Contentment. Then service to others. Then when you abstain from precepts, you are also performing wrong action. You don't kill. Because all these are wrong action. Then instead of only holding the precept, the ennobler, you not only kill, you develop compassion to save life. You not only don't steal, you develop the compassion and understanding to make offering, generosity. Then third precept, you develop contentment. You develop equanimity of mind. Then the fourth precept is telling lies, so develop truthfulness. Be sincere, be truthful. Then do not be cunning, do not deceive. So all this will help you cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path understanding. Of course, when it comes to meditation, it's more difficult. Meditation involves the understanding of four foundations of mindfulness. Mindfulness of Kaya, Vedanas, Chitta, and Dhamma. So all this, you have to put in the hard work to understand. And now it's easy because the Heart Sutta notes are there. Everything is there. Example all very clearly given. This is a very good reference book. Okay? So hopefully with this, you will know what to do after you go out from this retreat. Way place, and we should respect this way place and do our duty afterwards. We should clean up properly and hand over all facility the way when we come, or better. Okay? So with this, I thank you all for all the cooperation over these last 9 days. So you can have your breakfast now. We meet up here at 7:15, okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then after that, 7:15, we will develop. Oh, sorry. We are still earlier, 7:50. Oh, meditation, you're supposed to meditate for a while. Okay, you meditate for 10 minutes. Then 7:15, I ring the bell, then you go for breakfast. Then 8 o'clock, we come up here. Huh? Then we have the part 2 of the closing ceremony, which is very fast. We just go through the respective minutes, or what they call itinerary. First is our expression of thanks and all those things. Then final summary of what we do with the money, the donation and all things. Then we rejoice. Then after that, we will, if you want to ask for forgiveness, you can do it. Then later on, if you still got a little bit of time, you can have one or two sharing from people who wanted to do but couldn't have the opportunity. Yeah? Okay. Yeah. You meditate. Yeah? 10 minutes. again, pay our respect, then go for breakfast. Then we meet up here at about 8 o'clock, huh?